Good morning, everyone. Looking at 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 17. Page 1207. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever.
Dear Father, may you help us to understand how we can be confident that we know you. Father, this morning, please help us to examine our walk before you so that we might be able to determine what we love. And in doing, be reminded of your great love to us in Christ. Amen. Well, you could tell it by the way I walked. It wasn't that I had a limp or anything like that, but the way I carried myself. What did it say about my confidence? But let me set the scene a little. A while back now, Susan and I lived on King Street here in Newtown in Sydney. This is while I was studying at Bible College, and around this time of the year was test time. So the way I walked, you could tell a lot about my confidence levels. As I walked out from a test onto King Street, that might tell you what had just happened. If I was slumped over and dragging my feet, it was pretty clear the test hadn't gone well. Whereas if my shoulders are back, my head is up, I'm looking confident, perhaps with a bit of reservation, because until you saw those results, you could never quite have complete confidence. And you see, that's the sort of idea on display here as we continue in 1 John. He's saying the way we walk should tell us something about us. Actually, the way we walk can, in a sense, be the test to see if we really believe. Are we walking as Jesus did, to the tune of love? Or are we walking to the world's tune? But John's challenge in this test is not unlike my walk during exam time, because I might be confident based on false knowledge. You see, until the results are in, And that's what John is finding in the lives of some of his readers or some of those who have departed them. That they were walking so confidently, but there was a false confidence. Because John says, the results are in. You're walking so confidently, but you're walking to the tune of the world. At the same time, he's finding those who seem to be lacking confidence. These confident ones have gone out, but John says, remember, let's see the results have come in. That you can walk confidently because you're walking to the tune of love. John wants everyone to understand so that we can all hear. He allows us to look in at the results so we can determine the way we should walk. If you're walking confidently, you're saying you know God, but you're walking to the world's tune, the results are in. John says you don't know him, you might fail. Or if you're walking hesitantly, but you're walking to love's tune, well, the results are in, and you do know him, so be confident. Well, this morning, how do you think you might fare in this walking test? Would your confidence be built on a false hope? Because you say you know him. But if people looked at your life, and if you really examined your life, it'd be clear you're walking in line with the world. Maybe you walk sometimes a bit hesitant, a bit stilted. You know, you're not sure that you've done enough. You desire to know God. You have a genuine love for others, but still you hesitate. Well, John wants to provide you with real confidence, that you can look at your life marked by love and know that God is at work in you. Or maybe you know him, but you find it really difficult to walk to the tune of love. You know, you hear the command to love, but your love for your Christian brother or sister often comes not from joy, but from duty, and you're not sure you can keep on loving. Well, John will show us. He'll show us the way that our walk can actually be fueled by love, driven by love's tune, but for some turning from walking to the world's tune, but confident, knowing that the way we walk because we know him. Well, let's turn and see how John gives us the first test to see if we're walking to love's tune so that we discover if we truly know him. Well, I try to head out for some exercise every couple of mornings a week around our place here in East Lismore. And every morning I see all sorts of walking styles. You know, there's kind of the casual walk. There's kind of the elderly couple handing each other's hand. It's more of a shuffle. Then there's sort of the hardcore ones, the Kerry Satchby one. But then you can get the super hardcore ones. They do it with the dumbbell, so they're really working it. But John here, he's saying he only wants to see one walk. He wants to see one walk amongst his hearers. He says, if you want to know you know God, walk like this. Chapter 2, verse 6, have a look at it with me. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. You see, John gives them this walk. John gives them this test. John gives them this command. Walk as Jesus did. But what does this command mean? What does it mean to walk as Jesus did? I'm sure you could do a Google search and find some pretty crazy things out there. But John goes on in verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the beginning. The old command is the message you have heard. John says, this command ought to not throw you. John says, this command has been around for ages. It's been around for donkeys. But it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. And from what he goes on to say later in the chapter about loving his Christian brothers and sisters, it seems he's alluding to a command to love that sat over the whole Old Testament law. From Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It's up here on the screen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You see, the Old Testament law, after this statement at the start of Deuteronomy, would go on to show all the ways this love of God plays itself out in a host of relationships. You know, it's to the extent that Jesus, in his ministry, summarizes the Old Testament law like this in Matthew. Here he goes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, John is saying love's command is old. You've heard this before. To love God and love others. And yet we know as Jesus neared his death, he turns up the notches on love. Because remember, John recalls what Jesus said in his last moments with them before his death in the upper room, John 13. A new command I give to you, love one another. But what is new about this command we've heard of Jesus? Love as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. You see, here Jesus has taken this old command to love, but adds to it by saying, love as I have loved you. And like it was then, that was the test to know if you were in him. So, is this the new command John has in mind in verse 8? Or is the new command here to walk as Jesus did from verse 6? Is the command, walk as Jesus did, or love like I have loved you? In the end, really, it's the same message anyway. The same command to love in a very direct way, as Jesus has loved, as Jesus has walked. So, do we understand the love Jesus is talking about? I think John spells it out to us in verse 10. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. John says, if you live by this new command, you will love your Christian brothers and sisters. Then you can know whether you are walking the walk. Here you can know if you're walking as Jesus did. There is nothing to make you stumble. You can be confident that you live in him. You can be confident that you know God. You can be confident that you obey God's commands. So can I ask you, do you love your Christian brother? Do you love your Christian sister? And let's remember the love that John and Jesus have in mind here. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You see, what we might define as love, or who we might define as our brother or our sister, mightn't actually fit into Jesus' categories. I'm sure you remember some of Jesus' warnings in the Gospels when he says, if you love those who love you, what good is that? Anyone can do that. Because the danger is we might hear this test and say, yeah, that's my walk. That's my life. I love my bros. And all I do is I list off all the people I love at Southern Cross Presbyterian Church who love me. Are we in danger of stumbling? Because too often we might sign stuff off as Christian love when it's not. We're simply just loving those who love us. And I think this is part of the wonder and the great challenge of our life now in gospel communities. where I find myself living alongside those I would not normally love. They are from a different age and a different stage to mine. They don't like sport like me, and they have a very different background to mine. And so it is hard. But in this setting, this sort of love can grow. Because we want to love like Jesus loved. We want to walk like Jesus walked. So how can we walk in such a way? How can we walk in such a way when love becomes our tune? How can we fill our heads with the tune of love? How can we stay in step to love's tune? You know, so we can be like those who are out walking, doing their exercise with our earphones in, but rather than some new song blaring, we can listen to an old yet new song playing. I wonder if you know the tune. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. You get the idea? What will it look like to have that tune, as annoying as it is, playing in our head? So that we can walk, so that we can jog, so we can cycle as Jesus did, so we can love like Jesus loved. As Jesus said, it would mean more time spending loving those brothers and sisters that don't love us back. It's continually having those in your home that never invite you around for a meal. It's continuing with those you send texts to, but they never text back. It's sharing your life with those that don't let you into theirs. It's wishing happy birthday to those who will never return it. It's taking that call when you're about to sit down at the end of the day. It's loving and loving and loving those brothers and sisters who don't love you. It's loving as Jesus loved. This is confident, loving walking. That means you won't stumble. And so John goes on to warn those. He goes on to warn those that might proclaim they know God, but they listen to the commands of the world. They might seem very confident in their belief, but their life walks to a very different tune. It walks to the world's tune as they love the world. Well, let's hear John and his worldly warning. I don't know whether you're a bit of a window shopper. You know, walking around Lismore Square or heading up to the Gold Coast, looking in all the shop windows and thinking, oh, I'd love to have that. And that's kind of the walk that worries John a little. Because he's saying, look, go to the square, but whatever you do, wherever you walk, if you find yourself that you're always looking or always wondering or always envying or always longing or always loving the thought of what the world offers, then he says, hear this warning. He's saying we can wander from Jesus' walk. We always are hearing the world's tune in our minds, and it means the love that we have for others can be waned. It means sometimes we lack the resources to love because it's squeezed out. John says, you might have aligned your walk after something. You might have found yourself another love life. Have a listen from verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here again, John is saying, have a look at your walk. If you find your life is filled with figures and football teams and flat screens, but you say you know God, John says, maybe don't be so confident. He's saying, if you struggle to walk as Jesus did, if you find no time to walk with your brothers and sisters, if your time is occupied by long hours and leisure and the latest fashion, you'll be busy, you'll definitely be walking, but maybe you're walking with the world. Have a listen to American pastor Matt Chandler describe this worrying walk. Worship of him is why we were created. Every bit of our affections, every bit of our emotion, every bit of our passion was given to us by God for God. It was not given for worldly things. John is saying, if your affections and your emotions and your passions are only stirred by the things of this world, you love the world. If the thing that gets you excited is a new phone, if the thing that gets you pumped is the fact you dropped a few kilos, if the thing that stirs your emotions is the success of your team, if the thing that gets you out of bed in the morning is that next deal, if the thing that is on the horizon for you is that holiday, if you're restless and in constant grief waiting about those exam results, and if you've never felt these emotions about God, John says, watch your step. You might be keeping in step with the world. You might be in love with the world. You might confidently say you love God, but he looks at your life and he says you're a liar. I remember being on a school camp. The boys from my year, we were set up in two verandas that faced each other. And being summer, we had some absolute cracker water fights. Buckets of water, hoses, water balloons, pots, pans, the works. But I thought I'd discovered the secret strategy. You know, all that fighting just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I ran about a kilometre around the whole campsite full of water balloons. I was more ribbed than Mr. Universe. I made it right to the back door of the dorm. I had outsmarted those boys. I wind up, pull out all my water balloons and just start pelting them. I hardly made it back to our dorm, but as I'm just going, I absolutely nailed those boys. But I just kept thinking, having this sinking feeling, going, one of those guys ducked, and behind him was a window. I didn't even get back to our dorm before all the other guys are coming out saying I'd broken the window. I knew this required quick action. Being the loving guy that I was, I went and informed the staff. The window had been broken. I wanted them to be the first to find out. I wanted them to be able to quickly repair it. So my brothers, you know, the guys in the other dorm didn't get hurt. So I lovingly confessed that because of the heat, I'd open the old sash windows to allow some ventilation, and I didn't want these boys sweating it out. But unfortunately, the window, it's an old window, it's fallen down, shattered. And they thanked me for letting them know, and I confidently said, look, no worries, I'm just trying to help. All of the blokes, all the guys from my year could look at my life and say, you liar. John says, no matter how confidently some of John's hearers might say they love God, if God were to look at their life and see it, he would say, you liar. Now, don't get me wrong. John is writing to give the believers confidence, but he wants them to be confident in the right thing. He knew there were those amongst them that had left them and confidently said they knew God, but the way they walked was a very different story. They loved the world. They didn't love God. And they didn't love his children. He wants them, and he wants us to see if we are living a lie before it's too late. Because it is better to confess this side of the last day than to hear the Father say, I never knew you. So can I encourage you that if you find your affections or your emotions or your passions are not stirred by the knowledge of God and the love of Jesus Christ, to try to determine what has a hold of your love and to try to desperately turn your walk around. And if a Christian brother or sister sees false loves in your life, that there seems to be a distorted love of things of this world, and that it is compromising your ability to love God and his people, don't lash out, but see this as a loving concern to identify lies in our lives, and so be very thankful. And yet for all of us, we will surely wander from the walk that Jesus did. We will wander and be tempted by the things of this world as we are immersed in them. And our love for our Christian brothers and sisters will wane. And our love will always want to swing back to those who love us. And so we constantly need to return to and have our lives fueled by love, so that we have the resources and the confidence to walk as Jesus did, to love as Jesus did. And so we'll consider that together now. I remember running a cross-country event in North Queensland. I don't really remember too much about the race, but I just remember hopping off the air-conditioned coach and thinking, far out, they've dropped us in a desert. And man, was I thirsty during the race. You know, you're trying to put your body to these limits and you're just not sure you can go on. Man, when I saw those drink stations, I was like a camel. I was just getting a hump on my back so that I could head back out into the desert. I needed a drink. I needed to be refueled to keep running. I needed to be refreshed so that I could have the confidence to go on. And it seems that that's what John could be doing in the peculiar section from verses 12 to 14. Is John doing some slight excursus here? Is he doing it to say, if we are to walk as Jesus did, this could be the fuel to keep you walking. This could be the fuel to keep you loving. This can be the confidence to help you to walk this walk. I mean, have a listen to how John begins in verse 12. I write this to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You see, John is saying no matter where the people are at, whether young or old, he's writing to fuel them, to give them the encouragement to obey love's command, to be able to love those who don't love you, to love those brothers and sisters that are hard to love. Is John saying this to establish them so that they don't pursue the world? You know, reminding God's people of key truths. Don't look to the world for love. Don't give your love, don't give your affections, don't give your emotions to the world. But remember, we have been loved by God. In love, he has forgiven us of our sins in Christ. In love, God has made, the Father has become known to us in Christ. In love, God has overcome the evil one in Christ. Are these truths enabling them to walk, to respond to love's command, to say no to the world, to allow them to be fueled by the love of God? Surely that's what John's hearers needed to hear. Surely that's what we need to hear. Because how are we to go on loving our brothers and sisters graciously, self-sacrificially? How are we going to protect our hearts from loving the world? How are we ever going to walk as Jesus did? Surely it's the love of God in Christ. Surely it's remembering our sins are forgiven in him. Surely it's dwelling on how Christ has loved you, so we love others. What is it that will fuel us in this walk? The fuel we need to resist the world, to love our brothers and sisters, it is the love of God that has come to us in Christ Jesus. Well, it might have been hard for me to know how to walk. As I stepped out of that test room on King Street in Newtown, and yet, what if I could know that result of that test? What if I knew the confidence that I had founded in myself was not just based on how I felt, but on the fact that those who knew the truth had said to me, yes, you know. Man, I would be on top of the world. I would walk out of that room in the midst of the hipster capital of Sydney. This is where the coolest of cool people. I can walk out of that exam room with bad hair, bad stubble, bad clothing from just being locked in a room for about a fortnight, Ugg boots on, yet the confidence to walk with head held high. And so John says the results are in. How do we know we love God? How do we know? Or do you walk to love's tune? Or do you walk to the world's tune? That is how you'll know. That is how you can have confidence. So how about you? How do you go with love's command? How do you go with walking as Jesus walked? How do you go with the command to love others as Jesus has loved you? If people were to look at your life, if they looked at your walk, would they say, yeah, they walk the walk and they talk the talk? If you say you love God, but everything in your life shows love of the world, John is saying to us, can you be so confident? Or if you say you love God, but you have little, or if truth be known, frustration and a growing contempt for your brothers and sisters in Christ, John is saying, can you really be so confident? Or if you say, I love God, and your affections and emotions and passions are drawn to God, and the love that he has for you just overflows in your relationships as you love your brothers and sisters, John says, there is nothing to make you stumble. You can be confident that you know God because you know the love of God in Christ. Well, this pastor and his wife had been in the town for a couple of years, but they had a free Saturday, and so deciding how they might spend it, the husband suggested to his wife visiting or having a certain family around. The wife, with astonishment, looked across the breakfast table and said, why on earth? The family from their church had few or no friends. They had many personal problems that made them unattractive to people. The wife knew they needed support and time to be spent with them, but couldn't that wait till next week? And yet for months the pastor had been investing much time, much thought and emotional energy into helping this couple to move forward in Christ. In short, actions of love. Listening, serving, sympathising, confronting, affirming, sharing. And after all that, he'd realised he had come to love them. So he had a go at trying to explain why. You'll see it on the screen. Why did that happen? Was it because I was so holy and spiritual? No, not in the slightest. I had stumbled onto a practical principle. Love's command. I had been loving even when I didn't like them. And the result was that slowly but surely my emotions were catching up with my behaviour. If you do not give up but proceed to love the unlovely in a sustained way, they will eventually become lovely to you. You see, there is much we can learn from their experience, that as we commit to God's command here to love his people, and as we seek to love those who don't love us, we can often begin to grow to understand why they are the way they are, the ways in which they themselves have been unloved in their relationships. And yet for us to truly proceed in love in a sustained way, God must become more lovely to you. Until the love of God so fills us, until the love of God so fuels us, only then will we truly be able to walk as Jesus walked. Only then will we be able to love as Jesus loved. Only then will we have the confidence to know we know him. Only then will we have the confidence to love like Jesus. Well, John wrote to show the results of the test, to see, do we know God? He asked his readers to examine their walk so that they might say they know God and yet love the world. Well, he says you lie. Well, did they say they knew God and it was clearly evident in the way they loved? He says, you know me because you love my children. So may God be fueling our love at Southern Cross, as his love stirs our affections and our emotions and our passions, so that we might walk and that we might love like Jesus loved. Let's talk to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your love for us, that while we were unlovely, you loved us. That you so loved us that you sent your Son, Jesus, into the world. Oh, we're sorry for the times our loves are misdirected. That we can so often love the things you have made rather than loving you, the Maker. That our love is often shallow, extending it only to those who love us, and so failing to truly love our brothers and sisters. So, Father, please do help us. Help us to know the depth of your love to us, so that as we experience that, your love would overflow onto those around, and so confidently affirming on us that we know you. In Jesus' name, amen.